Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here. All minds and hearts are clear. I'd like to thank Scott and T for asking me out again, combined with the awesomeness of sharing this table with Delana for this weekend. I'm always in excitement to see what God is up to. I'm always ready for Him to deliver and reveal the next layer of what He has for me. So I don't know why you came this weekend. And I've been around long enough to know that there's a number of reasons in this room why you're here. Somebody is very much interested in accessing a deeper, more effective understanding of your recovery, your personal relationship with God, and a spiritual experience. Somebody else is here because they're very new to what we do in the nucleus of recovery. And they have a thirst and a desire for more, to get in the club, in the club. Then somebody here this weekend, you're just a looky-loo. You're just here. You just see what you want to see what we're up to, and you'll probably criticize us all weekend. Find fault with what we say and separate yourselves from us as opposed to aligning yourself with us. I'm grateful that I've been the product of some very awesome teachers, where the basis and the foundation of that has been spirituality. Spiritual alignment with the power greater than myself. Spiritual companionship with the power greater than myself. And spiritual partnership with a power greater than myself. So Delana talked a little bit about what she wanted you to entertain. If you'd like to tell them again what it was you wanted them to do. I believe it was open up.
Yes. Asking questions, sirs, occur. It's weird. You know, most ideas are simple, the book says. But again, you know, asking where is my receptivity? Is my heart space open to change, evolve, transcend? I may not even know what I need to change, evolve, or transcend. Love that you got that book. Like, that book is for you. You didn't know it. But there's something in that book. I don't even know what's in the damn book, but it's something in the book for you. So asking the question about what opening without any attachment to outcomes or results, just open.
So spiritual alignment. When Scott asked, he told me it was the 10th year, very special. Would be honored if I could do it. And I went into prayer and meditation and asked God, what would He have me be? And as a result of that, I know what I'm to bring. Spiritual alignment. So we're going to ask you to open up. And we're going to do a couple of things now to open up the portal for God to be a part of this weekend, for His Spirit to guide and direct and show us on another level who He would have us be. So I'd like three volunteers to say a prayer. Three volunteers. One, two, and a female. I need a female. How about back there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then after that, we're going to do 5 minutes of meditation. Then we're going to do something very special after that. So I don't know if we can dim the lights. Can we dim the lights? No? Okay. And, no. One male over here. One male.
We can light some candles.
You want to light some candles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Light some candles. Yeah. So y'all want to go there then, huh? All right. Well, let's go.
Right. You
want to
light the gift candles?
Just
light them.
Good.
I love this crew.
Yeah. Let's go.
So, want to rob the bank? Yes.
What's really cool
let's rob
is
it.
That three people got lit candles that were lit for a part of the ceremony.
Synchronicity.
Yeah.
Scott. And look, this represents the heart. Do not hurt the human heart, for that is where God mm-hmm. dwells. Put that in the center of the space.
Mm-hmm. So we got one here in the back, and then who's the other gentleman? Right here, okay? And just fall in. When they finish, next one just fall in. Then we'll do 5 minutes of meditation. Feet flat on the floor, back straight in your chair.
Is that okay, Mike?
That's good.
You want this on during the prayer?
No, after the prayer.
Phones on silent.
When you're ready.
God, thank you for making yourself aware to everyone here tonight in this room. Thank you for being here. Thank you for this opportunity to let everyone here get to know you better. Amen.
Hey, Father, we just thank you for this experience. Thank you for bringing us all together here on this weekend in this amazing place out in your creation, God. And we just pray for open hearts and open minds as we go into this weekend. We pray that you just serve our spirit in an amazing and beautiful way, God, so that we can grow closer to you and our fellows as a result of that. We pray that you be the lamp at our feet so that you show us the next step to take and that each step draws us closer to you, God. We pray for grateful, humble servants. Thank you again for a day sober. We thank you for the ability to show up and be present. We do pray to just remain teachable and responsive as well as helpless as we went through this weekend. So we love you very much.
Amen. Creator, thank you for bringing us here safely. Please guide and direct us.
They called you. She said, "Hey, Father." He said, "Creator." The now, the infinite, the all-knowing, the everything. It's your children, Father God. It's your children, Father, and we come to you being the caretaker. Being the provider. We come knowing that all we have to do is ask, Father God, and knock and seek, and you'll show up. We're asking that you come see about us this weekend, Father God. We ask that you just step in this place, Father God, and touch as you do. Hold out your hand and heal somebody's aching heart, Father God, and somebody's confused mind, and somebody's twisted memory. We ask that you just show up this weekend. We ask that you do what you do. We call down your spirit, Father God, to come hang out with us. We need you. We need you. Without you, we are nothing. Come by and see about us. Instill your presence in us. Give us what we desire deep down inside of us, Father God. We pray when no one else can hear our prayers. Deep down within, hear those prayers this weekend, Father God. Change hearts, change minds, change spirits, Father God, so that when we leave this place, we are renewed. Some aspect of our life has been reborn. We love you and we thank you for this privilege and this opportunity one more time to be who you would have me be. My gift, as Delana said. Why you've kept me these 68 years to be here this evening, this weekend, to be here. And if one somebody hears your voice, my job is done. I thank you and I love you. These blessings we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, man, let's go for five.
Can we get the light? Can we get the lights? I'd like to just go around the room, and we can start here. Let's go around the room, give us your name and your sobriety date and what you're doing here this weekend. All right, start with you.
My name's Tracy. I'm from Woodstock, Georgia.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi, and actually, I'll be celebrating 7 years Sunday.
All right.
Hey, I'm Richie, recovered addict. Atlanta, Georgia, my man. Let's see. My sobriety date is 10-12-14, I'm 14, and I'm here because you guys are here, man. It's going to be badass, so I'm digging.
Thank you.
I'm Tony, I'm a recovering alcoholic. My 1 year date was May 9th of this year, and I'm here to kind of clear some of the things, the worries the world puts on me away, and trust God more to take care of those things that are standing in the way of my progress.
Hey, I'm Liam.
Hey, Liam. Let's say hi, y'all. Hi, Liam. Yeah. Right.
I'm
in
Atlanta. My sobriety date is July 15, 2008. And I'm here to have a new experience with the Big Book and have a new knowledge and increased awareness of a power greater than myself.
My name is Drew. I'm an addict.
Hey, Drew.
I date March 11th of this year. And I'm here with my sponsor, Liam, to finish up the steps and to get a refresher from y'all and expand my spiritual experience because I'm hungry and I'm willing to take anything I can get.
My name's Tony. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Tony.
My sobriety date is May 1, 1980.
Nice.
And that's an approximation because I really wasn't planning to be in this deal when I stopped. I come here because I need to be reminded. That's it.
My name's Tim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
Tim.
I'm from Alpharetta. My sobriety date is May 21st of last year. And I'm here just to get a new, deeper spiritual experience. Every time I go through the book, I get something new, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens.
My name's Will. I'm an alcoholic.
Hello. Hey, Will.
I am also from Woodstock, Georgia. Sobriety day, April 25 of this year, 5 months from Monday. And I am here because I was drawn here because I'm quite certain that my higher power has led me here. I'm trying to stay very open to this direction. That's why I'm here today. Thank you.
My name is Eric, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Eric.
It's Friday date is January 28, 2013. I'm from Mobile, and I'm here to get a new experience. You know, I've been hearing about these retreats. It's the first time I've done one. You know, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys have to share.
I'm Casey. I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
Hey, Casey.
Let's see. My sobriety date is July 3rd of this year. I'm here with the Launching Pad crew. And I'm here to listen, soak in as much knowledge as I possibly can, fellowship, have a spiritual experience.
My name's Chandler. I'm an addict.
Chandler.
Sobriety date is October 12th of this year. I'm here to open up, learn something new, and have a new experience.
Steve, alcoholic addict.
Hey, Steve.
Sobriety date is March 6, 2002. Currently live in Manhattan, and I'm here because my fucking people are here.
That's right. Hey, I'm Lindsay. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Lindsay.
Friday is April 23rd, 2007. I'm here because God and my
bunch of people are here too. That's right. Yeah, I'm Jamie. I'm a heroin and cocaine addict.
Hey,
Jamie.
Hey.
My sobriety date is May 16th, 2011, and I'm here for a new experience.
My name is Shay, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Shay.
My sobriety date is May 11th of this year. I'm also here with the launching pad, and to learn that I actually don't know it all.
Hmm.
I'm Sam, I'm a drug addict.
Hey, Sam.
I'm here with the launching pad crew also. My sobriety date is July 14th of this year, and I'm here to strengthen my spiritual connection with God.
Zach, I'm an addict alcoholic.
Hey, Zach.
November 1st, 2015. Here because life kind of directed me here, and I'm here to see what happens, and my hopes is to enlarge my spiritual life and see some truth, and like my man said, I don't know everything, so.
Well, I'm Megan, I'm
an
alcoholic.
Hey, Megan. Hey.
August 4th, 2010 is when I got sober, and here I learned something new.
I'm Danny, I'm an addict.
Hey, Danny.
My sober date's September 14th, 2014. And I'm here because it's my people, because I love the one y'all did last time, the one Mike did last time, it's my first one. And also here just to evolve, you know.
I'm John. I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hey, John. Yeah.
My sobriety date is August 14th, 2006. I got a second what Steve said. This is where I meet my friends. I'm not from here. I'm Scott Foster and have been for a long time. And I've been to every one. And that's why another reason why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to every one of them. And I plan on continuing to come. This is where I met Terry, where I met Carl, met Steve, met Lindsay.
Already knew Danny, boy.
He's in
it. I'm James. I'm an alcoholic. Sobriety date is 8/26/12. And I'm here because these grounds are one place where I can truly retreat and get out of Atlanta and be with my people, but to be with my God. And it's really, you know, I hate to say to take something away from it, but I always do take something away from it. And I'm looking this time to try to give something back as well.
I'm Danielle. I'm an addict.
Hi, Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
My sobriety date is January
11th, 2015,
and
I
haven't done anything like this, so I'm super excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jason. I'm an addict.
Hey, Jason.
This is actually my hometown, so I'm here following suggestions of others and listening, seeking God.
What's your sobriety date?
December 27th, 2016, I'm sorry.
All righty.
Hi, my name is Ashley.
Hey, Ashley. Yeah,
Ashley.
I'm a recovering crack addict. My sobriety date is January 28th, 2005. I'm here for a spiritual experience and to learn something.
Recovering crackhead, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Crackheads. Right.
My name is Tom Carter, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
And my sobriety date is April 10th, 1988. And I'm here because I don't want to go back out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you came from where I came from, you wouldn't go want to go back out there either.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
In the
back? I'm Ken. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Ken.
12816. I'm here because I was called here because I was here when I was a child. And I was called to be here at this retreat. And I'm here to see my spirituality go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Jen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jen.
My sobriety date is March 15th, 2017. And I'm here because when I was about 30, a little over 30 days sober, I went on a retreat with some of the people here, and it really plunged me pretty deep in some waters of sobriety I knew nothing about. And and I just felt drawn to come back. Just you opened it on the experience. I'm Tracy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
My sobriety date is January 23rd, 2017. I'm here to spend time with my God. Also to for a spiritual experience and really kind of get outside my comfort zone.
I'm Brittany. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict.
Hey, Brittany.
My sobriety date is October 17th, 2011. And I'm here to grow closer to y'all and grow closer to God.
I'm Emily. I'm a
heroin
addict.
Hey,
Emily. My sobriety date is July 31st, 16. And I'm here because I'm supposed to be here.
That's right.
My people, heroin addict.
Heroin addict.
Me?
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm Molly. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Molly.
I've never been to a retreat, and a lot of people I really like are here, and I don't know. I'm really excited. Oh, and my sobriety date is January
13th, 2016. All right.
My name is Carl, and I'm an alcoholic. Okay. My sobriety date is May 19, 2006. And I'm here because, yeah, my people are here. And I've been to a few of these, and they've always been very transformational, following these things, enduring them. And so I'm here to be open to, you know, what the universe has to bring to you guys.
Mm-hmm. My name's Brandon. I'm a heroin addict.
Hey, Brandon.
My sobriety date's August 30th this year. And whatever I think I'm supposed to be here is probably insult the actual reason that I'm here. So. Open for suggestions.
Nope.
No.
You don't fucking get it.
Okay.
I'm Brian. I'm a heroin addict.
Hey, Brian.
My sobriety date is May 12th of this year. Thanks to God and a little help from the police, too. I'm here to learn all I can and hang out with you fine people.
All right.
My name's Tony Tay.
Tony Tay.
Addict and alcoholic.
Hey, Tony. Hey.
My sobriety date is February 7th, 2016. And I'm here to have a deeper experience with the force that I choose to call God.
I'm here to grow in understanding of the spiritual way of life and effectiveness and how to help others and how to be a better person, a better son, a better sponsor, all those delightful things. My sobriety day is August 26th of 2016, and I'm from
Carrollton,
Georgia.
My name's Chris, and I'm a cocaine and
meth
addict.
Hey, Chris.
My sobriety day is September 25th, 2014. You know, I was originally came here because Tarek asked me if I would do the recordings. And as time got closer, things happened in my life, and it turned out it wasn't very convenient for me to come because of some other things going on. But I realized that I want what you have, and I want what you have, and I need to be willing to go to any length to get it. So that's why I'm here.
My name is Hunter, and I'm an alcoholic. Picked up a year on September 12th.
Oh, happy birthday.
I guess the biggest reason I'd have to say is because my recovery grew roots here last year. Mm-hmm. At the same time.
My name is Jay. I'm a heroin addict.
Hey, Jay.
Sobriety date is February 28th of 2017. And I'm here to reconnect with God and to spend some time with some people that are important in my life.
My name is Steve. I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Hey, Steve.
This sobriety date is September 8, 2016. And I don't know why I'm here, but I'm seeking growth and seeking an experience.
I'm Robin. I'm a drug addict.
Hi, Robin.
I've had 30-plus years of uninterrupted drug use. And my sobriety date is September 16, 2016. And I'm here, so you show me how to live.
I'm Chris. I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
I live in Dunwoody. My sobriety date is 10-10-14. Earlier this summer, I felt the need for a bigger experience with a big book. And I didn't. I tried a couple of different things, and the schedule just didn't happen. And a buddy of mine told me about this. And it seems like it's going to fit just exactly like this.
I'm Tanya. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict.
Hi, Tanya. Hey, Tanya.
My sobriety date is May 25th, 2015. Mm-hmm. And I was drawn here to find out more about myself, my disease, and grow closer to God.
I'm Ross. I like the hair on. I'm here because I want to be here. Oh, May 20th, 16.
I'm Tarek. I'm an alcoholic and crackhead.
Hey, Tarek.
I was reborn on November 5th, 2007. And I'm here to watch someone get shot out of the cannon. That's my favorite part of these retreats. Mm-hmm. I've been here in September for a long time, and that's my, it's just something to contain, there's a contagion in the room, and I like to watch people catch it. That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
My name's Elric. I'm addicted to heroin and methamphetamine. My sobriety is June 12th, 2016. I'm here to have a deeper experience with the 12 steps, spiritual experience with God, and to just grow an understanding and effectiveness to carry the message.
I'm Kevin. I'm an alcoholic addict. And I'm from Cartersville, Georgia. And my sobriety date is June 30th of this year. And I'm here for with the launch pad and also for the spiritual experience and waking up process.
Mm-hmm. I'm Davey. I'm a heroin addict.
Good day. Good day.
My sobriety date is September 8th of this month. And yeah, 4-night clean. I'm here for God to provide me an experience that makes this worth living.
Did you say September 8th?
Yeah.
You just got here.
Just got here.
Let's give him a hand. Scott, I'm next. I know
I'm
you, Scott.
I'm Scott. I did not like the heroin. That shit took away my sense of control. So, yeah, I like crack cocaine and the whiskey, man. I love that shit. And I'm here out of a sense of duty and pleasure, because y'all had to be here, and I'm here so that y'all could be here, and that y'all could get whatever you need to get while here. Because 10 years ago, my teacher, I was so moved by him that I wanted to share him with the people that I sponsored and the people in my family that was around these parts. And we started this little retreat in this room with about 35 people, and it's kept on going. You know, and a lot of people have kind of come to here over the past 10 years and had some powerful spiritual awakenings in this room. April 9th, 2003, I took my last hit of cocaine and my last drink of blended Canadian whiskey about 1 mile from where we are right now. And today I live in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks.
Thanks. I'm Delana Z.
Hey, Delana.
And I'm an alcoholic and smoked a lot of crack. My sobriety date is October 21st, 1996. And I'm from Los Angeles, California, and I am here because you asked me to come.
That's right.
Yes. My name is Mike D. And I'm a heroin addict. My sobriety date is March 9th, 1987. And I'm here because I've been blessed. All I want to do is share that blessing with somebody. That's it. However you receive it is up to you, but I'm just here to share it with you. Mm-hmm. So keep an open mind and open heart, and you will receive. Mm-hmm. So what I want you to do now is get up, shake it off, go to somebody you don't know, and give them a hug and say, "Welcome, glad you're here. Let's go. Come on." Give dope fiends an inch, they take a yard.
I love your
All right. So how we doing, okay? Doing all right?
Yeah.
Let's get started into this awesome weekend. I listened as we went around the room. And different people said they had some stuff going on. And they wanted some stuff to happen. And they were here for a very specific reason. We're going to take a look at currently, as we move through this weekend, and access power and align ourselves with spirit, where you are in your life, with your recovery. And not only with your recovery, where are you with your family? your biological family, your recovery family, your work family, your play family, your socializing family. So I want to start this off with something I created. Actually, I've only used it twice. And I used it first in Amsterdam for a convention that I spoke at and did a workshop. And it's called Step Zero. And it's a self-realization step. Self-realization to freedom. As we go through the weekend, I have a few books I brought with me. I brought The Five Levels of Attachment by Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. I brought The Good Book and The Big Book by Dick B. I brought The Forerunner by Cahil Gibran. And I brought one more. The Way of the Wizard by Deepak Chopra. So, we're going to be doing a little bit out of each of them. You can take notes, or if you got a memory that's a computer, you can listen and retain it. Whatever you want with what Delaney and I do this weekend, it's totally up to you what you do with it. I'm here to have a new experience. I might be the facilitator, but every time I do something like this, I have a more deeper, more profound understanding and alignment with why I'm here and with what I do. So, the five levels of attachment, there's a piece in it called An Exploration of Perception and Potential. Our point of view creates our reality. When we are stuck in our beliefs, our reality becomes rigid, stagnant, and oppressive. We become bound to our attachments because we have lost our ability to recognize that we have a choice to be free of them. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, Delaney talked about the mirror, didn't we? Didn't you? We often hear a narrative in our mind of what we see, a definition of self in the form of an identity that is based on our agreements. The thoughts and beliefs we have said yes to. The identity stems from beliefs that have come to us over a period of time. These beliefs are encapsulated in a single system that is represented in the reflective image of a physical living being. Five Levels of Attachment, Don Miguel Ruiz. Step Zero, Do I Need Help? Literally speaking, step one is the first step of the 12-step process as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, but realistically speaking, a breakthrough must occur for the individual suffering from untreated alcoholism and or drug addiction, living a life of torment and despair. This has been identified as step zero, the beginning of the end. We have the newcomer and the umpteenther and the old-timer, all in need of acknowledgement that something is wrong. They may or may not have brought into the idea or theory that they have a problem. So, this paper was basically created for the new guy that comes to see us, that has not been willing to buy in to a very simple fact. Something is wrong, and I have no power. So let's take it a step higher for us. What's going on in your life now that has you twisted, mangled, tormented, confused, restless, irritable, discontent, like our book talks about?
Money.
That you might possibly be in a delusion that you can fix it, but you haven't come up with a solution yet that suffices. Mm-hmm. Let's use that as a jumping off point. Current unmanageability. And are you at step zero with that current unmanageability? Could be your love life, could be your work life, could be money, could be a number of things. But a dollar to a donut, if I went around the room, everybody in this room has an area that they're struggling with right now. And as we move through through the weekend, you will see there is only one reason why you are struggling. One reason. So, opening up to step zero, they become inquisitive because things, life isn't working out. That's true with the money deal? Just ain't working right. It won't straighten out to save its goddamn life, right? No matter what you do, you just can't fix it, can you? Stuck and cannot move from A to B without severe consequences because of their actions. Is that you going into treatment again? Couldn't move from A to B without you getting loaded again, huh? So if I talk to you, I'm not picking on you. We're just setting the stage here. Okay? We're setting the stage. So I'm not picking on you, but if you want to think I'm picking on you, it's okay. Okay? I like to ruffle feathers. I like to upset apple carts. Steps A and B are always aligned with getting high. So let's take this area of your life. Steps A and B, whatever you do to try to fix it, it never gets fixed. You stay fucked up. No matter what you do. What I've found is that I can get my hands on a solution, right? But the solution does not solve the problem. It does not suffice. It isn't consistent. It may work for a minute, but it isn't forever. I need a forever deal. I need a forever solution. Can't create change because the mindset and the nature of the disease, which they know nothing about, holds them hostage. In a little bit, we're going to take a look at 1852, middle paragraph, 151, last paragraph, the four horsemen. I'm going to ask you how you do with that shit. Still. With 30 years, with almost 40 years. Somebody else in here has got big double digits back there. I don't know where he went. Yeah. My man said, I need to keep knowing why I'm here. What'd you say? I need to be reminded. I cannot forget my step zero. What got me here? Compounded with my step one, which is my foundation. Clarity as the severity of the dilemma that they are in, blocked from reality by ego, the sense of self and self-power, edging God out. I don't know if you like me, man, but, you know, some stuff I'm just going to fix. I'm going to fix it. Still, 30 years later. Did I say my sobriety date is March 8th, 1987? 30 years later, I get caught in a headlock. And guess who's got the headlock on me? Me. Because I won't relinquish the idea of I am not powerless still. stubbornness, denial. Society's imposed values to living life. What's some of society's stuff? Man is all powerful. He can fix anything. He can do anything. I mean, let's face it. God created the earth and he gave Adam power over everything. He said, I'm giving you power over everything. You are supreme to everything.
It's also what other people expect of you.
Well, that's man is all-knowing. He can work it out, capable of being like other people because they can work it out. They can do it, so I can do it. That? No. No. Might not be your area of efficiency. Resistance to change gets comfortable in the uncomfortable. Gets comfortable in the uncomfortable. This is what it is, and this is what it's going to be. My God, if it had been that way with me, I wouldn't be sitting here with you guys tonight. It had to be smashed. It was smashed in my step zero. In that recovery home where I heard there was a solution. Because before that, I was dying. On a rooftop or in a basement with a spike in my arm. Fear of the unknown. Resistance to change. Had good times with my buddy. I will again. Oh, it's only a matter of time. I'll hook it up. Somebody's in a place in their life where you believe you will never have a significant other. And it's a lie. It's a lie. The I will not is a lie, period. The universe is open to give you whatever it is that you want, you desire, and you need. It will bring it to you. Or you will bring it to you. Basically asleep to what they are caught up in. Basically asleep to what you are caught up in. You don't even see that area of your life is running you. Hmm. It's got you damn near insane. It's got you in a place where you're about to take your next one and you don't even know it. That's why we get so many relapses. They get the red flags and they get the high signs, but they don't pay attention. For me, this has been about paying attention. It's been about waking up, but not only waking up, I better stay awake. I better stay awake. But this step zero stuff, basically asleep to what they are caught up in. Ain't no big deal, but it's your insides, it's killing you. You wake up in the morning, it's on your mind. All through the day it's on your mind. When you close your eyes at night, you close your eyes at night with that on your mind. How can I fix it? And you haven't even brought into the idea that you can't fix it. Mm-hmm. You keep trying. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to say about that?
I could speak a lifetime about that.
Okay.
I want to touch on what you read. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, you read a narrative, you read an attachment, a bond, mm-hmm. I have an idea, take money, whatever your money trips are, I have my own, but I believe that I need to have a certain amount of money. I think that money is supposed to come in a particular way. I have my parents' concepts of money. I have these prejudices about money. When I get money, I don't respect it. I think the source is the person that wrote me the check instead of realizing that the universe is the source, but that person is the resource. So I think in limitation. I think in lack. I think in poverty, waiting for prosperity. I'm stuck because of my thinking. Mm-hmm. I can't admit there's a problem because we talked about, you read it, there's a stuckness and it's oppressive and I have a bond with the attachment of what I believe. Mm. So I can't shift. I don't think I can be sober. I don't think I deserve sobriety. It's for other people, not for me. I'm stuck there because of my agreement with not being good enough for sobriety, not being good enough for abundance. It's for other people, not for me. Mm. So what I hear you saying is that I have to come to a place where I give up my ideas. I don't know what they need to be, but I know I need to give up mine. That's what I hear step zero being.
And that's the next piece of it. Buying into step zero. To buy in. Hit bottom. Get finished. My God, ain't you tired yet? Mm. I don't know if you like me. I've been fighting all my life. Only since I've been in recovery have I ceased fighting anybody or anything the majority of the time. Progress rather than perfection. But aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? Maybe you need to give it up. Hmm. Give up being a believer of the lie. And Delaney just talked about it, my thinking. The obsession is about my thinking. This time it'll be different. This time I'll have a solution. This time I can do it sociably. This time it'll work. That doesn't only happen with drugs and alcohol. It happens with a whole bunch of stuff. I buy the lie. And what's the lie? The lie is I can fix it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about spiritual alignment. What gets me to a place where I know that I must line up with spiritual tenets and a spiritual way of living life? Become desperate. Same way you did about your alcoholism or your drug addiction, your active using. A dollar to a donut. A lot of you in these rooms, you became desperate. Yes. You became willing to do whatever that individual that became your guide, spiritual, book-wise, whatever, you did exactly what they told you to do. You ain't had no questions. You ain't had no answers. Well, why do I have to do that? No. No. Joe said, do it. Or not. Mark said, I'm going to give it to you. Now you do with it what you want to do with it. And as a result of desperation in my life, what? To not be who I had been the moment before, I took on some new ideas and some new ways of looking at stuff and dealing with stuff. And a lot of it had nothing to do with me. You know, people live in this idea that they can work the steps. You hear them shared in meetings. I'm in step four, and I'm writing inventory. You don't write inventory. You do the mechanics of writing inventory, but inventory writes you. If you do it right. This is just Mike D shit. Okay. But if you do it right, it writes you and you become the inventory. The writing is just a mechanical part of it. Later on. That's later on, tomorrow afternoon, I think. Knowing this, that your friend is no longer than your friend. All these are buying in pieces, right? Life and living becomes impossible. Can't live and can't die. moment of clarity and move on it. Death to using, give up the ghosts. Hmm. You die to the idea that you can fix it, and you give it up.
But that means I have to give up everything that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I am has brought me, I mean, this far. So what do you mean I have to, I can't give up everything that I am. Then what am I going to become?
Yeah, but when you look at it, what are you? You're dependent, reliant, sick, chaotic, crazy, neurotic, irresponsible, physical human being. Physical. My whole deal has to change. My whole perception as to how I'm looking at things, and most of all, how I'm looking at me and who I am, more so of who I'm not, because I think I'm this. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later. I think I'm this. And this. And this. And this. Executive chef, food service director, and sponsor. That's who I think I am.
But if I give that up, then I'm nothing.
Well, with that nothingness comes something. And if I say I'm nothing, I'm something, this is your deal for tomorrow, because my textbook says God is either everything or else he's nothing. And I ask, so does nothing, does everything entail nothing? And for me, everything entails something, which makes nothing something. So am I nothing? No. I can think that. You think, and it becomes reality. It's phenomenal what this book talks about. The problem centers in my mind. Powerful deal here. The switch. Something's got to flick the switch off. Do you have the power to flick it off? That's the question. In any area of your life, not just drugs and alcohol, can you flick the switch off? To push off from step zero to step one, stay awake, because you get moments of clarity. You get them. Something's wrong with being 19 and homeless.
Got it?
Something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with mama don't want you around no more. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with you being irresponsible. Something's wrong with that picture. Wake up. Wake up. Stay awake. Internal conscious awareness that you are at step zero and you need help. You bow down. You surrender, which is what the next piece is going to be all about before we push into step one. Surrender.
But can we talk about, like, I don't know how to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to be vulnerable enough to receive help.
Well, it's frightening. It's frightening to be vulnerable. How many of y'all grew up like me? You can't be no punk. Raise them high.
Yeah,
raise them high. Women too.
Women too.
You can't be no punk. Hold your own.
Mm-hmm.
Hold your own. Fix it.
Or you couldn't trust the people who were supposed to be your safe places.
Who's that? You can't trust the people that were supposed to be in your corner and had your back and would look out for you. Couldn't trust them. So basically you were stuck with you, so you thought. Scary place to be, huh? Scary place to be when you've used all your options and ain't nothing worked. How many ways you done tried to make money?
Save.
Huh?
Save.
Save money.
How many ways you done tried to save it? Right.
So
ain't work. Ain't.
The yard, car tore up, dental bills.
Yeah.
Always got it.
Yeah.
Ruined my day.
Mm-hmm. We just talked about attachment. Attachment. You are what you attach yourself to. You are your reality. I found this to be about detachment. I sort of grew up with this Mike D shit in recovery. I don't want it. I haven't wanted it for years. I can't seem to get away from it. But. You with me? Anybody with me? Step zero. And step zero, a lot of times, is behind step zero is I need. I need. Stay awake. Step zero is like calling the operator or tuning into your GPS for help and directions. So naturally, when we get lost and we're in our car, what do? We talk to that broad again, right? You know, the one always talking. Go ahead, turn right. Recalculating. Yeah. Right? Why won't I do that with my life? Why won't I immediately do that with my life? Why do I let it get so out of hand? There's another piece to that. Why? But this is just stuff I want you to ponder for a minute. Why do I take things to the limit? See, I'm the type of guy, I like to go to the edge and dangle my foot over to see if I can keep my goddamn balance. There's a madness and a sickness in that. I'll call you. I don't think you do that. You don't have to do that now. Call the operator for numbers, right? I know growing up, you called the operator if you didn't have somebody's number.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to make contact, right? Why won't I do that with my life? In the moment. There's a reason why. Stay thirsty for more. Stay open to receive more. At step zero, you have been given all of you away. Involve altered ego in recovery process through prayer. Following directions of a sponsor, someone properly armed with facts about themselves. Hopefully everybody in here got a sponsor. We're going to talk about sponsorship Sunday. Now, don't do this if it's not true. How many of y'all in here got sponsors? Okay, put your hands down. How many in here don't have a sponsor? Good. Thank you. We'll talk about it Sunday. Blank page in Big Book is first page. Be a blank canvas. Know nothing, and don't shy away from that. People associate nothingness with nothing, which is not true. Mm-hmm. My God, we just talked about that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being at zero opens the door to embrace something. That something is step one.
And infinite possibility. Thinking about the desert, the barren desert. Someone saw Las Vegas there. There was nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the nothingness was everything.
That's the way it is with us. When you truly get here to us, you mad dogs,
mm-hmm.
and insane asylum candidates, you're at zero. A blank canvas. Because if you knew anything, you wouldn't be here with us. It's that simple. But there's another piece that keeps us stuck in the insanity and keeps us blocked from movement through a process that just opens us up to the infinite wonder, beauty, and power of spirit. And it's called compliance versus surrender. So you get so beat down and you get to a place where you've had enough is enough, you become compliant. You actually get T for a sponsor, and on the outside he'll give you stuff to do, and your outside will say, okay T, I'll do it, but on the inside it's like, man, fuck that shit, I don't want to do that. Why do you do that shit? Internal condition. That internal condition aligned with compliance is called defiance. An enemy of sobriety is defiance. Defiance means standing up to authority and refusing to recognize or obey it. That's a hallmark of recovering people. Why? Because we've probably been defying all our lives. I don't know about y'all, but that's why I used to get whippings. Anybody in here get whippings? Whippings, not beatings, whippings. My grandmother used to tear my ass up, man. Why? Because I was defiant. Because I thought I knew better than they did. I actually had to go back and make amends to my mother, my grandmother, and my godmother. This has only been a couple of years in a piece of work. And make amends because they were dealing with what they had, and they had my best interest at heart. They loved me on a level that they could love me. And I thanked them for it. All three deceased. Made all three amends. Because of my defiant attitude. Defiance is about an unconquerable ego. Ego hitting bottom. A feeling of personal helplessness. Hitting bottom followed must be followed by surrender. Hitting bottom must produce a result, and the result is surrender. So you can hit bottom and come see us. or you could hit bottom in those areas of your life, but there's another step to that. Surrender to the fact of you can't fix it. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. That's what kills a bunch of us. We believe we all that in a bag of chips, and I'm gonna do it. And the sad part of it is so many of us die in these rooms trying to fix stuff. Externally, we present a picture, we on board, and we're doing what's asked of us here, but internally, we haven't surrendered. I still got a bright idea. How can you talk about that, Mike? Because I just fucking did it. like a day or two ago, I just did it. That's why I'm still here 30 years later. Because I'm fucking insane. Still on a certain level. I need to be reminded. Why'd you come here in the first place? Well, because I'm powerless. Well, that Heron powerlessness is that's much of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The major proportion of the problem is I'm powerless in every area of my life, just about. I need power to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way I look at life and the way I live life that gets me in trouble. My solutions.
Can I jump in here?
Sure you can. And you don't have to, just jump in.
Okay.
I need you to.
I have a question.
Because they're going to drain the shit out of me. So we'll get drained together. Come on.
Who started using drinking in their adolescence by a raise of hands? 12, 13. Okay. And maybe younger.
Yeah.
But just adolescence, right? It jumped off around that time. So I'm segueing. I'm using what he's talking about. In my adolescence period, I have a 13 and a 15 year old at home. So that's why I'm really here. I didn't want to be there. At 13 and 15, I'm in a developmental phase where I'm seeking identity, and part of that is autonomy. Which is why I'm so defiant, because I think I already know. My brain just started thinking abstractly. It's just, this is human growth and development. The brain just started being able to think past concrete terms, black and white. They just started to be able to infer. They just started being able to draw conclusions. You know, adolescence, where you were sure you knew more than your parents knew. Mm-hmm. They were dumb. They didn't understand you. The people that you hung out with understood you. You were connected to them. That was your developmental stage. That was your, that you felt safe. That was your earth with those people. Where I start smoking a little weed and taking a couple of pills. And you follow me? Drinking a little drink. So, when I start using substances, I become developmentally delayed. In the room, we talk about I stop growing right there. So then I come and get sober in treatment again. I'm still at the same developmental place I was at 14, 15, where I still think I know everything, and you can't tell me anything, sponsor person, speaker person. So I can't hear, and that's my defiance. I can't, unless my thinking changes, but it won't change because I never take my mind to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because because I can't get to one. This is more understanding of why. Why can't I penetrate that defiance? Why is it so difficult for me to change these aspects of my life? I struggle with saving money. I think I have to save $100. So since I don't have $100, I blow to 80. Instead of saving the 40. I'm trapped in a mindset because I think I know everything. So I'm suggesting you could save 40 is what I'm saying. And that that would be saving. Do you understand?
The compliance is based out of an area of my brain that holds on to its attachability. And as Delaney was saying, in most of us, that's developed very young in our lives. And that attachability is, I know something. I know what's best for me. I know what I should do and what I shouldn't do. I just did a whole workshop on this in Texas. But I sit in What launching pad?
What about it?
I sit in launching pad again. Umpteen time. I never tap into the reality of really what's going on with me. And it all goes back to what we talked about earlier. Possibly being at step zero, but not buying into the tenets of step zero. And then not buying into the necessary step of, I must surrender all of me. Because there's a part of my mind that stays awake, and it's called ego. And we in recovery have a very clear definition of ego. It's edging God out. Another definition of ego is a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. So I got the answers. A lot of people go to their grave proving that. They never get a solution. Because that altered part of my mind won't allow them to. It has to be smashed. So here we're in a dilemma. And dilemma is I'm caught between compliance and what needs to happen is I have to surrender. And again, it's not only with drugs and alcohol, it's with specific things in my life. I fight to have the power, choice, and control. And I've lost those options long ago. The conscious mind sees all the reasons for acceptance, while the unconscious mind says, but I won't accept. That happened at 19, first treatment program. I knew something was wrong and I needed help. But then when I got to where I could get help, I wouldn't do what they told me to do. I'm struggling saving money, so somebody just put an option on the table. Okay, don't try to save 100, save 40. And it's like, well, shit, I'll be saving forever if I save $40 every 2 weeks. What the fuck am I going to do that for? I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Instead of surrendering to the fact of, I don't know, maybe they do. Yeah. And, you know, I just speak my mind, you know. My sponsors had to be people that they not only talk the good talk, they walk the good walk. They demonstrated what they talked. I need teachers. I need guides. I need people not that I look up to. I need people that I can look them in the eye. Be totally transparent with them. Tell them exactly what's going on with me and not feel ashamed. And not feel little or non-existent or less than. They will love me right where I'm at. That's come as a result of surrender to the fact of I don't have the answers all the time. That's come as a result of I put myself in the struggle. The struggle don't put me in it. I put myself in, I'm a willing participant in all the mess that go on. I did it. So, what does produce wholehearted acceptance? Surrender. What is surrender? Admitting defeat. To agree to stop fighting, hiding, resisting, because you know that you will not win or succeed. So I give up. I give up. How many people were taught not to do that? How many people got in fights where you got your ass whipped? You got your ass whipped, but you still fighting too. Right? Beat down. When if you had given up, you might have. I got a scar up here now because I wouldn't give up. What I found over the years is that when I take on a stance of humility and become humble and surrender to what's happening in the moment, there's a freedom in that for me. I become more useful to God's kids and to God as his servant. Easier said than done, because we have stuff so ingrained in us over the years. It takes work. I don't expect somebody with 5 years, 4 years, maybe 10 years to be able to take on the tenets of this stuff happening as I have. I don't expect it. That's why I give me a break, but I also give the people that I sponsor a break. It's like, oh, you did that? Okay, well, claim that. Claim that. Claim that ounce of power. Claim that doing the next right thing. Claim it. Make it part of your foundation. Know that as a result of that, you can do the next right thing. Because a lot of us come in here thinking we're complete fuck-ups. We'll never. And you've had parents and people in your family and friends tell you that. You ain't never going to be nothing. You ain't never going to amount to nothing. You can't do nothing right.
I know that ex told you that.
That's why they love, huh? So surrender, after step zero, surrender is a necessary piece to catapult you into what the rest of the steps require you to do. Requirements. Requirements to recover. Requirements to align yourself with a power greater than yourself. Requirements to begin to forge out a personal relationship with that power of your own understanding. Requirements to live happy, joyous, and free. Surrender.
Is that why I have to lay aside everything I think I know?
Well, I don't know who put that in that lay aside prayer. Joe gave it to me. God, please lay aside everything I think I know. He said if I could have laid it aside, I would have laid it aside at 19.
Mm-hmm. So I need help.
I need help. And that's the next piece of what this piece talks about. It says compliance, partial acceptance or partial surrender, which often serves as a block to surrender. Compliance means agreeing or going along with. Compliance is portraying mixed feelings, divided sentiments. That's the sponsor telling you to do something and you finding fault with it. Or the program as it's laid out in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Or what the three legacies ask you to do, you're only doing two. But your life should be straightened out by now. Mm-hmm. Title page says unity, recovery, and service. Treat body, treat mind, treat spirit. You will recover. But you want to treat body and treat mind, but you don't want to carry the message. Because you're afraid to talk in front of people.
I have an attachment. That people are thinking about me and talking about me, because I think when I walk in the room, everybody's thinking about me and talking about me, and everybody's thinking about themselves and talking about themselves, but I think everybody's thinking about me, judging me. I think that people are thinking about me the way that I think about people. People are judging me the way that I judge people. So I can't get free.
But you talk to the dope man.
Yeah.
If you thought you'd get a hit from him, you go tell him your whole goddamn story, wouldn't you? Or if you needed a hit from him, you'd make up a story to go tell him to get the hit.
But my motives were right.
It said compliance is two-faced quality of agreeing and then reneging. Compliance says yes on the surface and no inside. After an act of surrender, a sense of unity, ended struggles, no longer divided inner counsel, inner wholeness, being wholehearted about something. And what you finally come to a point to see is that he or she was a liar, dishonest in his thoughts or her thoughts. So we're back to being a believer of the lie.
I don't do commitment. I can't commit to... I can't surrender. I don't do commitment. Or what if I fail? What if it works for everybody except for me?
It is only when a real surrender occurs that compliance is knocked out of the picture. What part of the alcoholic or addict must surrender? It's the ego.
Me?
The ego, the edging God out part.
Me.
The I'm God part. Say it.
Me.
The I can fix it part. You got it.
Mm-hmm, me.
Me. The ain't nothing too big for me.
Mm-mm. I have vagina, I have money, me.
With all of that, you ain't fixed it yet. It's got to happen if you're to recover. It's got to happen if you're to have a life that's happy, joyous, and free.
I never had that before.
But if you stay around us long enough, you'll see somebody that's got it. You'll witness somebody that's walking it. You'll walk into a room and you'll see it in their eyes.
But what about my depression?
Well, that's a subject that is debatable. There's a bunch of people in here that probably would debate about it. It's a mental thing. I believe depression is a spiritual thing. Big Book talks about it. Pray to misery and depression. Depression has a job. It has a responsibility. That's to come and find your ass and make you depressed.
I want to jump in right here and talk about, we talked about narrative in the beginning. I'm still talking about narrative. When I said depression, I said my depression. It's my go-to. My depression. It's okay if I'm susceptible to depression. It's okay if that's, I'm really sad about not being able to control and enjoy my fucking life. It's okay. But does that mean that I can't surrender and experience happiness and joyousness and freedom? Being able to hold unresolved things and freedom?
Ego deflation. Ego deflation.
That goes for my anxiety too.
Ego must be canceled out. In order for that to need, for that to happen, there's a need for a deity. Deity means God. Deity means a power greater than myself. Deity for me is spirit. I need spirit in my life. There's another book that says God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Very big part of my life. How much time we got?
20 minutes ago.
We kind of passed the time. We
were done
with step one,
man. So, real quick. Current unmanageability. Current unmanageability. I want you to either write it down or put it up here. Okay. Some current unmanageability that's happening in your life. And here's what I want you to do. Tomorrow we'll pick up on this real quick before Delana does step two. We were going to do it tonight, but you're going to do it on your own. When you go to your rooms in the quietness of your heart, pray and meditate on that piece of your unmanageability that's killing you. It's wiping you out. You can't seem to get rid of it. It's a hindrance in your life. It's a hindrance to your peace and serenity. It's a hindrance to you being a part of. It's a hindrance to you being truly of a father or a mother or a son or a daughter. It's a hindrance to you in the rooms of recovery. It's a hindrance to you to being all God would have you be. I want you to sit with it. Couple minutes a night in your room. Just sit with it in meditation. Then create a prayer. And ask God to come in. There's a scripture that I want you to take with you as you go tonight. And I kind of wanted to base the whole retreat on it, but T and Scott told me, no, you can't keep them up all night, Mike. But I really wanted to start the retreat at 12 midnight tonight. That's what I really wanted to do. I did it in another retreat up in Santa Barbara. Awesome. Awesome. Mind-blowing. But I want you to take this scripture with you tonight as you go. And it comes from Acts, the 16th chapter, the 25th and the 26th verses. You can write them down. I think it's some Bibles in your room. I saw a Bible in my room. Might want to read it before you sit and meditate with your current unmanageability. You can do one piece or you can do two pieces or three pieces. Up to you. Then say a little prayer. And ask God to stop by and see you tonight. And help you. Acts 16, 25 and 26. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Prison. Somebody's in prison, and you're in here. You in prison. You ain't told nobody. You ain't told nobody because you care about how you look and what they gonna think about you. But you're dying. In the midst of us, you're going to meetings, you might even be in a piece of work, you might even have a sponsor, but you got stuff in here that's killing you. You don't trust your sponsor, that's why you ain't told them. And you're in prison. Do you want to get free? Verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands was loosed. Let's see what happens for somebody tonight in your slumber, in your sleep. And we're going to ask you about it tomorrow when you come back. Somebody here is ready for a spiritual awakening. Spiritual alignment on another level. You're starving for it. You're dying because of not having it. It's time to move. And you have not known what to do to move. Well, we're here this weekend to help you move. Somebody needs to just stand up and be who you are. And not worry about what they say about you and how you look to them and how you smell and all that. You just need to be you. And fuck them. And you ain't had the heart to do that up to now. You in prison. You need to break out. To ask God to send one of his angels to help you break out. How about Michael? Archangel, fighter. God's right-hand man. How about him? How about Gabriel? Stood at the gate. Call them down. They'll come. Call them. And we'll see you here tomorrow morning. All righty? Thank you.